I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting Crescent City, House of Earth and Blood by Sarah J. Maas.
Are you ready?
We're here.
We're here.
We didn't think we would be here yet.
No, we didn't. I know. That's what I was about to say. We had said, I mean, you know what though? It's not like we're not that far.
No.
That early, I guess. Right. What did we say? We were like, oh, November.
Yeah. We said the fall and it's September. Kind of so we're good. We moved up our timeline really just by a couple of months because we wanted to time our reading of Crescent City with book three being released so we wouldn't have to wait in early 2024. However, there's a very exciting interview happening next week that is spoiler full for book two. And so
I did not want
to miss that. Oh, it's on Tuesday. Don't forget. Oh,
no. So that's funny. That, I mean, I obviously know of it, right? Because that was the whole reason.
Yeah.
But I just forgot that that's happening, even though I have a markdown, even though I have a ticket, even though it's on my calendar until you just said it. And now I'm like, oh, shit, I have 6 days to read.
We read this book in less than that. So
I got to tell everyone, do not bother me. Leave me alone.
Yep. No plans this weekend.
No plans. Exactly. I'm going to be bringing my book everywhere with me. I forgot it.
Yeah. It's on Tuesday night. Gosh. So by the time that we release this episode, this interview will have already happened. We will have linked to it. If they do any, I don't actually know if they're going to do like, because it was a ticket thing, if there'll be any post stuff, but maybe we'll link to it even before. Anyway, this won't matter. The episode will be out. This will be done. But it's our faves, Christina Lauren, interviewing Sarah J. Maas. I mean,
it's like we get two of our, oh my gosh, I know.
So worlds intersecting.
I know.
Our rom-com queens with our romanticy queen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so exciting. So anyways, moved up our timeline a little bit, but so here we are talking about this gorgeous book, like literally gorgeous. Like this might be my favorite.
I'm mad cover. That I don't have a hardcover. I have a paperback.
But does it still have the artwork?
Yeah, it does. Okay. But you know, okay. I feel
does it have the second artwork in the inside?
Oh, that's what I'm, well, no, not like that. Like I have this, but that's what I'm saying. I feel like there's something like a hardcover book truly is a work of art, like in more ways than one. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's beautiful. Yeah.
I have the hardcover book too.
Okay, good. Yeah. Like there's the woman on the cover of all both editions. Then on the inside, there's just like a more detailed, differently colored version of her in the hardcover. It's really beautiful.
And I have, how many copies did I buy of the third one? I'm pretty sure.
Yes, three or four so far.
I'm pretty sure I bought three copies. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Lauren.
You'll be well covered. You can read all those epilogues and then give some away.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. What I was thinking. I was just like, oh, I need them all. So between all of us, we probably have them all.
Anyway, so how do we want to do this? Do you want to go like first impressions or like total impressions?
Okay. Yeah.
You go first.
With my like total impression of the book. Okay.
Total impression of the book. Like being a ACOTAR and TOG veteran.
Okay.
How do you feel about the first book of a new series?
I really did love it. First, I think Bryce is a fucking badass. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I really loved her. I also loved that this one is a little more modern, wouldn't you say, than...
Definitely.
Definitely. Right. They have like different weapons, things like that. I kind of liked that city element of it. And I also, I don't know, I just loved the overall like story. Like I'm interested to see what happens next. Obviously, the first book in any of her series is going to be a lot of world building and getting to know people and all of that. So I did expect that. I went into it knowing, but I really did get hooked very quickly. I was shocked when Danica died, but I was more gutted by Lili.
Oh, me too.
And oh my God. I mean, we'll get to that once we get to it. But overall, I did really enjoy it. I really enjoyed getting to know Bryce and kind of figuring out where she came from. I think there's a lot of mental health stuff in here too, obviously, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. I think is a theme in all of the series, which we love.
We love.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really, I think I text you. I was like, oh my God, we got to film. We have to record this immediately. I need to go into book two. So
yeah,
there's so much more I could say, but overall,
like literally tomorrow, if not tonight, I'm starting.
Yo, 1,000,000%. Yeah. As soon as we hang up. That's why I was like, oh, good, she wants to record early. I'm going to read. So
yeah.
Anyway, what about you?
So I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. So I started reading this like a long time ago, and I sort of gave up in that big world building section. I got to like Danica's death. I knew that had happened. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe my mistake was I was audiobooking it first.
Mm.
Which was good, but for that kind of world building and trying to get a handle on like there, it's extensive. I would say it's more extensive in the beginning of the book mm-hmm. than either TOG or ACOTAR. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of info.
It's all in the beginning too. It's like heavy.
A lot of politics too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I just found it hard to get into. And so I sort of stopped. And then I was like, oh, I have a really good reason to stop mm-hmm. because I know that there's going to be CC3. And at the time I read Throne of Glass, they were all done. At the time I read ACOTAR, the first three were done. And so I was like, you know, I don't really want to wait a long time for the third book, so I'll wait. And then we got together and started doing this, and that all like aligned with what we were doing. Mm-hmm. So when I went back to it, I found the same thing. Like, it was a little harder to get into, but I really loved it once I was past that point.
Okay.
I think also what kind of took me a while to get into it is I did love the urban fantasy part, that it is set in a more modern world. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they have cell phones.
Right. Right.
Like,
yeah.
They're watching reality TV. Like, it's like our current time.
What was it called? Bangs and Bangs.
Bangs and Bangs. Can that be a real show?
Well, you know what? I mean, did you watch True Blood ever? Because I feel
I didn't, but I should.
Oh my gosh. It's basically like, well, it was HBO. So it was vampires with a lot of sex. So Fangs and Bangs, I feel like, could be
werewolves and vampires.
Very fitting. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I don't think I loved about it is the very sort of crime story mystery element. Mm,
okay.
Because I really don't enjoy those kinds of books right now. And so that's the part of it that I was like, this feels like Shadowhunters or something, where it's like modern fantasy world because there's magic and other kinds of creatures, but they're like solving crimes and whatever,
got it,
you know, which I don't love. Mm-hmm. So that's a total personal thing. It has nothing to do with the book itself.
That makes sense.
So that was harder for me to get into it. But then once I like started liking the characters, mm-hmm. Got far enough in for that, then I was committed.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited for reading book two.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely, what was it? Maybe like part two, like it definitely picked up, you know, towards the end, per usual with book one and all.
I mean, that last 150 pages was like a blur of action.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Like Micah mm-hmm. died and I'm kind of like, oh yeah, there we go. The big bad's gone. And then like, wait a second.
Yeah.
This has to happen.
Right. Yeah. There was a lot of stuff, but I feel like the whole, I don't love like crime stuff, but I did used to love Nancy Drew. And this was kind of like a little bit of a mystery, right? Like figuring out where the horn was and what, or like what's with that. And Danica like leaving, and, you know, these boulders and her kind of having to
clues.
Figure it out. Right.
And there was like misdirection. We thought this had happened, but then found out that that wasn't true. And
mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I did not like was Hunt really fucking pissed me off.
Yes.
And honestly, though, like I can't say I've fully forgiven him.
Right. I understand that.
I feel like it was a little.
Do you mean for the drug thing or for multiple choices? Like for when that he was going to go, like when she found out he went on the boat, that he was going to buy the synth. And use it to like potentially, you know.
Yeah. Like I feel like multiple things. So, and I get he obviously couldn't like tell her, but I just didn't love that role of him. You know what I mean?
Fair.
Like I just didn't, and I don't know. He really ticked me off there.
Fair. Yeah. And you know, there's like a lot of debate about whether Hunt and Bryce are endgame. And if we go by like Sarah's other series,
true.
The first love interest is never endgame.
True.
Never. Uh-huh. Right. But I would say Hunt isn't even her first. Like we could say Connor maybe was her first because there was like a thing there. Right.
Connor. Yeah.
Yeah. But with Feyre in ACOTAR, if you have not read them, I'm sorry, but her first love interest is not who she sticks with. It's her second. With Aelin in Throne of Glass, it's not even her second. It's her fourth.
Right. Yes.
So if we say Connor's the first and Hunt is the second, it's possible that he could be endgame, but it's also very possible that he's not. I've seen some interesting theories out there about like Aedas being endgame.
Oh.
I'm quite interested in.
Oh, the cat.
Yes, the cat. The cat.
That's just how I, yeah. Interesting.
He presents as a cat or a younger boy, doesn't he? But that's honestly, not his true form.
No, yeah. But I honestly would be okay with it not being Hunt. Like, again, he just, like, I get everything. Okay, saved each other, you know, the whole bit. Yeah. But I just...
Mr. Right Now.
Yeah, like, I still, like, and I did like the whole... I feel like she definitely brought a side out of him, right, with the photos and things like that. But I still just, I don't fully trust him. I guess that's the best way for me to explain it. So yeah. I would not, like, he's not my favorite male character.
Yeah. And, you know, he is still, like, very openly through the book, very hung up on his past girl, too. Right. So she's getting through this like heartbreaking thing that happened with the whole pack, but including Connor, who she could have had a future with. He's still getting over his past love. I feel like they really help each other heal and get through a bunch of stuff. And I love their like bantery roommate situation. I love the bit where he's like on the couch with his gray sweatpants and like his backwards hat and they're just like hanging out, taking pictures with each other. I think it's maybe telling that this series is meant to be Sarah J. Maas's like first adult series. She goes, you know, with Throne of Glass is young adult. ACOTAR is new adult. This is adult. We didn't even get any sex.
No.
Really. Like we know didn't. That Bryce bangs some people, but it's like not on page, not detailed. We get one like hot and heavy third base kind of scene. And then they keep getting cock blocked. They keep getting interrupted. Like, why is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that have to say? Like, so people that have read book two are like, it's gonna happen or whatever. I don't know. I haven't read it yet.
Right.
But I just think, it would make sense to me if they are not endgame.
I agree with you.
And I would see them having a happy parting, like being
same,
like friends.
Friends. I could see. Yes. I could see them being friends and moving on again. Yeah. TBD. But yeah, he's not my favorite person.
Right. Yeah. I had to have pick a lot of sympathy for him.
I do too. I do too. And it's not that he's a bad, I don't know. To me, it was just, it blindsided me that he was the one she saw. Right. And then I don't know. I was like, oh, okay. No, yeah. I don't really like you.
He's hot and stuff, but like,
right.
But there's like, these other issues. Yeah.
Right. If I had to pick a man, I love Rune.
Me too. Not for Bryce, but
not for Bryce,
but yeah, but I'm wearing my Rune Danon shirt right now from Caffeine and Curses. Check the show notes for our code.
Wait, hold it up.
Is
I
still valid.
It.
It says Rune Danon, Crown Prince of the Valbaran Fae.
Do you
Starboard
think him and Haxia
chosen
are gonna...
one? You think 100%.
I love 100% her, by the way.
Which I'm also, I love her. The only thing about that makes me mad. Is it's what his dad wants.
Oh, okay.
Remember his dad wanted to like make a match between them before we found out, like we met her as the Med Witch and then we found out she was actually like Queen Hypaxia.
Which I love though, right? Because
I love
like
that too.
She's like doing her normal everyday job, but she's also queen. You know what I mean? So it's
I loved it too.
Yeah.
They're sort of like, you know, she said she wasn't ready for that and she wasn't going to make a match with anybody, an alliance with anybody anytime soon, whatever. But I could see that there is a start of things between them and I could see that developing and I would really, really like it.
Same.
Except for making the Autumn King happy, because that guy deserves unhappiness forever.
True. Yep. I think she's going to get that dick. I do.
And I bet it's a good one.
I bet it's a real good one. I know. Yeah. We're going to have to, after we read the second, we'll have to come back and be like, okay, what did we think? You know? Yeah. But I do. I like that. I like that. Rune, I really like. He's a good guy. You know, like
he is a good guy. That's the brother you want to have.
It is, you know, and Bryce is also the sister you want to have, though. Do you know what I mean? Like she really sacrificed so much for him. And then when he realizes that, you know, it's like this.
Yeah. He's like, I didn't even care about that stuff. Right, like when right. she's hiding her starborn.
Yes. Yes.
Status.
Right. So I really like him. So
I like that, like, young teenage Bryce had like a crush on his like bro friend. Like his, and I love that he's also, it's this weird mix of like a world with magic and whatever. And like,
yeah,
like I already said, you know, hanging out on the couch in your gray sweatpants. We have Rune like living with his bros, playing video games.
Mm-hmm. And his bros high. Are good guys too.
Yes.
Yeah. Like he's got like a good crowd.
I love the part towards the end when they find out that, because they didn't know Declan and Flynn, Tristan Flynn, they didn't know that they were actually brother-sister. They thought they believed the same party line that everybody else did, that they were distant cousins. And when they find out, they keep thinking, like, my princess. And it totally reminds me of Az and Cass when they're like, my queen, my high lady.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But they were just very, you know, like, again, they were very brotherly to her.
Uh-huh.
And like Declan, he very smart. I loved like that, you know, she could count on him for like everything, you know, all the crazy
stuff.
Yes. So, I loved that brotherly love, that like possessiveness of her. Right.
Yep.
Like it just, so I like his bros. I like him. I like his bros. Mm-hmm. I'm happy it's now out that they are siblings. And obviously everyone knows that Bryce now has her starborn, you know, power or whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. So I'm interested to see if him and Hypaxia.
I hope so. I hope so.
Bryce needs to, maybe it'll be Tristan. Who knows? I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
One's a crush.
You never know. Yeah. Yeah. We have so much ahead of us. We're assuming that there's four books in this series because Sarah has said, well, there's four houses. So
And let's talk about, okay, wait. So Rune, right. Crown Prince of Valhalla and Fae, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So I loved how, as we were reading, Cheryl and I were literally reading this book like page by page together, which was really fun.
And novel, because we've done that with, we've read other books at the same time where we're like, you know, one of us heard of a book or whatever, and we want to do it together, but we haven't done it with any of Sarah's books because I'd read them all.
Right.
This was fun.
So we were literally like, I should have taken screenshots of our, I mean, we could probably go back like our text thread, like we'd with the knife and we're like, truth teller?
You know, the knife. Like, oh my gosh. We're I know. Like, I was like, could it be? Could it be?
Maybe. There was like a few things like that, right? That we were like,
yes.
Like, so like, we're like seeing it same together at the same
time. Yes. So to make that clear, that's Rune has the star sword. So he won that during his ordeal, like King Arthur style, was the only one who could retrieve the sword, whatever. But we find out from him, the sword possesses no power without the knife. Mm-hmm. The knife is a long bladed knife forged from iridium that was mined from the same meteorite as the sword. In their old world, where the Fae came from, when the knife and sword are reunited, so shall our people be. And the only like famous long bladed knife I can think of is Az's truth teller, which I still don't think we've seen the full power of.
No, not even.
So
we've even gotten Az. So I'm very
intrigued. I'm very intrigued, and I would absolutely love that. We will see.
And will also see. On that same note, the horn, right? We were saying could possibly be the other, what's it called?
The missing item from the Dread Trove.
Yes.
Yeah.
And same thing, like calls to light, right? It was like the whole.
Right. How many times did we read that? Light calls to light.
So many times. So I'm like.
From Akosif. Yeah.
I feel like if anyone's reading this book, they've read ACOTAR.
I mean, if not, you just won't get the connections and just go and read it after.
Yeah.
But you will.
Right. But I do think like that was super, super interesting. And I'm interested to see if we kind of like, and then the tattoo, right? We were chatting about the, so
yes,
Danica had the tattoo put on Bryce's back.
Yeah.
Which as we know, she stole the horn, ground it down, and basically had that tattooed into the tattoo. Right. So like the ink.
Which ink was mixed with the grit.
With the horn. So
it's
Luna's
good thing
horn,
she's half fae, because that probably would have caused like a massive infection in a full human.
So the horn is literally in her back.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't know really what the tattoo looks like, but you and I were both thinking maybe word marks because with the tattoo,
because they refer to it as being, well, Bryce refers to it as being like in an old language.
Right.
It's page 681, I think, is where the reference is made. Let me just read that because I thought it was really interesting. They don't mention word marks in this at all, but it says, so this is Micah saying this in their final showdown. The language is beyond that of this world. It is the language of universes. Okay. And then a few pages later, page 692, this is where Bryce is thinking to herself when she had figured out that the horn was part of her. She'd figured out in the hours after the Crystallos' attack at the docks when she'd seen herself in the mirror and began to suspect that the tattoo on her back was not in any alphabet she knew, because it was not an alphabet, not one from Midgard. Now, if we go back to like the other series, is like all of our leading ladies have a back tattoo, right? Feyre has one. But Aelin's is the one I'm thinking of specifically, because when it's redone by Rowan, he specifically weaves word marks in there to help her find her way back home.
Yes.
After she forges the gates, after she gives up her humanity to close gates. Like, is this sounding familiar at all? This is like exactly what Bryce did when she made the drop.
Exactly. Right. And then like literally was 2 seconds away from not even like 0.003, whatever the number was. Right.
Yeah.
And then Danica is like, which that whole scene, I was just like, oh,
it was so heartbreaking. Like, you know, I was going to do this episode sober like Bryce. I was rereading the episode today. Sober like part two, Bryce.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, Lily. Oh, Danica. I need a whiskey sour.
I know. But yes, as Danica's like running with her and like, you know what I mean? Pushing. Oh, my gosh. But yes, I thought the same thing. She had to find her way back. So.
Right. There's a lot of connection there. And sometimes you got to wonder, like, is it connections that we're going to get an answer to? Or is it just like, oh, Easter egg for you readers? All our leading ladies.
I think we're
going
to get an answer to this thing. I feel like there's still a lot left unfinished in ACOTAR and Throne of Glass. So I think something's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about Rune, another connection. Do you remember when Rune goes in to see his dad, the Autumn King, and he's like in his study and he has that orrery, which is like a full working model of their seven planets, moons and suns. Did that sound familiar to you? It's from Akasif. Rhys built one and Cassian mentions it in Akasif.
Oh my gosh, you're right. And the other thing I was thinking about was the library
too. There's libraries in all three series. So I was is this the same? Is this,
you remember that?
Is this the same orrery that Rhys built? Or is it just another, you know? But I think they talk about it being like from built thousands of years ago or something. And
I feel like nothing is put in this book to not have meaning. Any book.
Agreed.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think
she thinks about it too long for that to be like an accident.
Right.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, if it's just like an Easter egg for us, we're like, oh yeah, we said one of those. That's cool.
Yeah. But there's also many Easter eggs and so many things that kind of like line up and you're like, wait, that's awfully familiar. That's again, like calls to like, okay, we've heard that before. So, and now there's this other thing that's missing and we still know something in the Dredge Road, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, so
Speaking of the repetition of like calls to like, I just want to talk about this now so we can not talk about it again. Lily, when she makes her sacrifice, like she finds out that she's been freed by Bryce and she's like, let the world know that my first act of freedom was to help my friends. She literally sacrifices herself to give Bryce like 2 seconds.
Literally 2 seconds.
To get away from Micah, which works, but like, holy shit. She starts repeating to herself, like who she's the child of or the grandchild of, whatever, mm-hmm. who her ancestor was. But then it devolves into over and over again, my friends are with me and I am not afraid. My friends are with me and I am not afraid. Mm-hmm. It's very Throne of Glass Aelin.
Yep.
I will not be afraid.
And fire.
Yep. Yep. She's a little fire sprite. Oh, how she calls him Athi and Bibi.
Still not over it. I'm very mad at our beloved Sarah J. Maas for killing her.
No, it's like I sort of feel like it was worth it because it let Bryce conquer Micah. But at the same time, I'm like, you died for 2 seconds.
I know.
Maybe she could have done it anyway.
I know. I just loved her. She was like my favorite little, I was picturing her like a little fiery Tinkerbell, you know?
Yes,
like
just totally.
Watching her shows on her cute little couch that Bryce got her.
Like a dollhouse couch, wasn't it?
Like, I love you. I was so mad. And it was funny. I posted that on my stories and everyone was like, Danica? I'm like, no, I wasn't even this sad about Danica.
No. That happens too quick to be sad about it, really.
Exactly. I was
like, the Danica stuff later, like saying goodbye and then helping her like do her ascent. That was more to me than like Danica's initial death. That was just like, oh, whoa, I didn't even hardly get to know this person.
Now I am happy Syrinx. Is that how we're saying his name?
I think it's in the audiobook. She says Syrinx. Siri and Syrinx.
Okay. I am glad he did not. He? She? I don't even know.
He.
I am glad he did not die because I was really worried about that too. I was like, I swear to God, if this not even dog, whatever it is, I just picture him like a dog.
Chimera. Yeah. I think he's like a mix of several like, creatures. I picture a dog cat.
Same. That's with like some
a cat head, like kind of dog body. That's something like that. That's what I would be so pissed. Bit of a raccoon, maybe.
Yes, like a So I'm glad, you know.
Everybody in that room at the summit that was watching everything happen, mm-hmm. and even like the Autumn King is like, leave the chimera.
Right.
But that's not her, right? She's not going to leave her behind. I mean, she dived into the freaking knock tank.
Right.
To get him, which that's like a massive tank. So I literally was texting my husband who does water quality and engineering for an aquarium. And I was like, how big is 10,000 or 100,000 gallons? Because that's how big the tank is.
Yeah.
So he gave me like a dimensions. It would be like, I think he said it would be like 21 by 30 feet.
Yeah.
So it's like a massive freaking tank.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this library.
Yeah.
That seems risky for the books.
Yeah, I know. Well, that and having a fire sprite. I know I was having a hard time picturing because like the knock, I think of Frozen.
That's the same name.
Yeah. So I was like, is that? But that's not what it looks like. Anyway,
not what it looks like. But then, and I was picturing the Kelpies from Akasith.
Yeah, it's kind of like a.
It's like the same thing. So it's like, I did look it up. So it is from Norse mythology. Yeah.
I looked it up too. I looked up fan art, which is very helpful. All the people out there.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
So it's like a shape-shifting Kelpie, basically.
Mm-hmm. Creepy.
Yeah, like lures.
And poor Lily was terrified of it, staring at me.
I know, and you have to like live with it basically all the time.
Creepy.
Ugh. Speaking of Norse, so we talked about like the ACOTAR series is very heavily like British mythology and like landscape and everything. And then we were talking about what Throne of Glass was, and there was a lot of Greek influence and even the way the landscape was in the map. With Crescent City, we don't get much of a map. Like, we just get the city. So it's hard to place it, like, gates. Where it could be in our world. But the names of the creatures, the names of people, it really feels like a blend of all of them. So there's definitely Norse Norse input here. There's definitely Greek. There's definitely Roman. So it feels like she's kind of blended them all, which makes sense if we're sort of thinking that going forward in this series, we might be blending the other series, or
right,
getting more like influence and appearances.
Well, there was a lot of even, remember I was texting you about, I don't remember what the word was, but I think it meant Earth, Midgard, right? But like,
oh, Midgard. Like, yeah, Midgard is Norse.
Yeah. And I'm like, where have we heard? Oh, that worm, right? So it makes sense because it's like basically a giant earthworm in
Agatha. Yeah.
Yeah, lots of like, it's interesting how you pick up on those words, like going forward. But yeah. And what was the other one? Something else reminded me of, I'm looking through your notes to see if it like rings a bell, but
with terminology.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm yawning. yeah.
So I mean, when we tape these episodes, Lauren's 3 hours ahead of me, and we often are doing it after like, it's evening, so it's like it's late for her.
Yeah, it's almost 9 p.m. it's okay, we're good.
Yeah,
I don't remember what it was, but yeah, there's just a lot of,
maybe it'll come to you.
It's okay. Something that just,
oh, was it the Arkesian amulet or something?
Oh, like... well, yeah, we talked about that, right?
Yeah, because and whether there's any connection to the Archerons,
right? And that's the amulet that, again, another amulet similar to Throne of Glass, right? So that's the amulet that Bryce wears.
Yeah.
And I was kind of picturing it. It's like three, right? Like circles.
Yeah.
And she wears that for protection. Mm-hmm. But then she gives it. Who'd she give it to?
Does she use it to try and bargain?
I think so.
For Hunt. And then it gets destroyed.
Oh,
but then,
that's right.
Jessica another has one. Another one. So she goes and gets that one.
Okay. Oh, but it was that. Okay. Sorry,
it was the amulet of the priestesses that guarded Parthos, which is the name of their world before the Asteri arrived.
Mm-hmm.
So the famous library of Parthos, what's left of that is what is in Jessica's basement. So, and it was the priestesses that guarded it. So I wonder, I need to know more of Jessica's history. We know she was a witch that left her house and now just calls herself a sorceress.
So I don't trust her.
I don't trust her, but I think she's a gray character.
Yeah, right.
I don't think she's bad.
No, she's more.
But I don't
gray.
Think she's, like, yes. I mean, in the epilogue, right? It's like her and Adis talking.
Yes.
And so she's mad at Adis because he knew that Bryce was starborn and kept that from her.
Yes.
But we get some, actually, let me look at that page because we get some really cool tidbits in that, it's barely over a full page, that epilogue. And we find out that they have a relationship, Jessica and Adis. We find out that he recognizes the power that Bryce has and distinguishes it as separate from what Rune has, and says that Queen Thea, so this is from forever ago, bears her light and says, I shall never forget the exact shine and hue of Thea's light. It is still a song in my blood, which is very lovey-lovey kind of way to describe something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why part of where I think this theory about Bryce and Adis comes from, because if Bryce is now like a descendant of Thea and is like bearing her power, and if Adis had a thing with Thea, maybe this, you know, maybe he's destined to go with Bryce.
Right.
We also find out Adis says, I think Athalar's father would have been proud. And Jessica says, sentimental of you. And he's like, well, feel free to disagree. Of course, you knew the male best. That sounds very past tense to me.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Like he's not around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
However, I have seen fan theories about who this could have been. And some people are very smart and know the names of stars and things. Because, you know, Hunt's real name is Orion.
Okay.
Right?
The Hunter.
Orion the Hunter. And that's why he's called Hunt. Apparently the brightest star in, and I did not fact check this, so I could be wrong, but I saw a theory that said the brightest star in the constellation Orion is Regulus. And Regulus was one of the Asteri member that came to talk to Bryce after everything went down and was like sort of veiled threats. Like, we'll let you live with this power. Just don't like share what happened. Threatens her and her family. Do you remember that?
No.
It was just like a couple of pages. It was a couple of pages like after everything happens.
After everything. Everything
happens. They go back to the apartment.
Oh, yes. I do know what you're talking about.
So he's one of the
they basically
six
come
Asteri.
Down and they're like, don't say anything or else.
Yeah, yes, I think he calls. Yeah, and she recognizes the voice. She's like, you're brilliant. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a weird coincidence. That's the name of the star in that constellation.
What page is that?
But then it sounds very past tense that in the epilogue talking about his father. It is.
It does sound past tense, but it might not necessarily mean... Oh, I
was like, maybe it's like would have been proud if he knew this was his son. That's sort of like a terminology that you would use, right?
In Orion. In Orion or in Orion's belt?
Well, they're both part of the belt is part of the greater constellation, Orion.
So what is Orion's bright? Yeah, Rigel. Rigel? Located in the Hunter's
Lake. Yeah, so Rigelus would be like Latin.
The two brightest stars are, I can't pronounce. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Got it.
Right. Huh. So it's chapter 96.
Yep. Okay.
Page 789. The bright hand of the Asteri. So anyway, could be nothing.
Could
interesting.
Be nothing. Could
I think
be
he's someone though, his father, because we also have when Ada sees him for the first time there with Bryce, he's like, what are you doing here? And like his power, and he's shocked that he has the tattoo of the slaves.
Hunt.
Yes. To Hunt.
Yeah.
He's like, why are you with like any, I think his sentence even gets cut off. Like he doesn't finish saying like the power of. So there is something there for sure that we don't know yet.
And that's the other thing. That's why I feel like still we don't know all there is to know about Hunt. And I'm still a little meh. And then Jessica, even before the epilogue, though, I was like, something's up with her. Something's not meh, adding up there.
Yeah. She's pretty mean.
She is. But part of me also. So I know she says, why didn't you tell me? Right. I know she says, why didn't you tell me about Bryce? Right. What she says, why didn't you tell me about Bryce? I didn't trust anyone, even you. But that doesn't necessarily mean she didn't know or have some kind of like, because I still feel like she's very protective of Bryce. She's nasty, but she clearly was very protective of her. I also will say this. I just thought that whole freaking thing where they were at the summit, which obviously is far away from where, but like,
Yeah, it was
fun. I'm just envisioning them all watching like with some popcorn, like as this whole
thing. I'm picturing like the United Nations, like the, you know, semicircle desks with all the translator things.
I'm like, Eric was just there for
watching
the show.
The big screen.
Like, go, you know, help to come out, whatever, you know.
I really like how that was written with the like current actions, like Bryce did this as this, and then like Therion reacts doing something.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Therion. We haven't talked about Therion.
No, we have
He's like the merman kind of guy.
I love him.
I love him too. We get so little of him, except
I think we're going to get more.
Except enough to be like, to think that he's a decent guy.
Yeah. Do you have him in your notes here?
No, I don't even think so. Because he's such a small part.
Yeah. You know? But I love, he's small, but he's big in the sense, like small part, but big. You know what I'm saying? I bet big there too. No, I just love how like right off the bat, him and Bryce just like have banter. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, totally.
Right off the bat.
With Hunt right there.
Yeah. I really like him. And he did. He helped her. Right. So he's
Yeah.
I really like him. I think. Yeah. I feel like he's I don't know. He's a funny one. He was probably one of my favorites.
I like him too. You know, I feel like he was he's a side character in the same way that like Fury and Juniper were. So funny because they're like Bryce and Danica's best friends.
Mm-hmm.
But we have so little information about them. Like Fury, she's from an unknown house. We don't even know what her powers are. We know she's a mercenary. She like frequently leaves and like goes on these missions. We don't know what she actually does.
You're right.
And then Juniper is a fawn and she's a ballet dancer. We get very, very little of them.
Right. But we know.
Yes. We find out that they're, yes, that they have a love connection together. We do find that out. So happy for them. Yes. But yeah, I feel like there's so much, like, for being, you know, kind of the main character's besties, they kind of aren't very present.
No, but I mean, as we learn, I think with Danica's death, it just, everything kind of fell apart, you know?
One part where Juniper was thankfully present.
Oh, yeah.
Was the night that Bryce, you know, like that, how hard is that? So she loses her best friend, soulmate of a fashion.
Everyone blames her.
And all her friend group, essentially, except for those two girls. But like the people that she hung out with the most, her potential love interest. She had been kind of an honorary member of the pack. And the greater wolf shifter community, she would like go and hang out with the younglings.
She was shunned
by all of them. And then her texts from that night, they become public and everybody is against her. Cyberbullying.
Right.
Is really what it turns into. And at one point there's a song written about her and copy sent to her apartment, and she almost jumps off the roof if it wasn't for Juniper, who hears something in her voice when she calls her. Something tells her to call her, something she hears in her voice, and keeps her on the phone until she gets there.
She is
a different person, Bryce, isn't she? Like before and after Danica's death. You know, she stops partying.
Yeah.
Which, well, I think, you know, probably necessary.
Yes, definitely pretty necessary. Hardcore. And I think also she does blame herself because she was so messed up in that moment. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That,
like she couldn't have stopped it.
No.
But I'm sure in her head she is wondering if she could or if she just would have been killed along with them.
Right.
You know, but maybe that's less painful than being the survivor. And she definitely is punishing herself, right? Like, she doesn't even go see a healer for that crazy big scar.
Right.
Which still has that, like, magic venom in it later, we find out. She stops dancing, which she loves. Yeah. I kind of like that she stops partying, but she doesn't really correct people. Like, she's just drinking water, and people assume she's, like, chugging vodka.
Yes.
And then there's a line where she talks about, then it says more about them than it does about me, that they think that I'm still this like partier.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty wise, actually.
I really loved her character a lot. Like she's, and I also just love like her parents, or well, her mom and her stepdad. I really loved their relationship, right?
Yeah.
I loved her relationship with her stepdad, and thank God for it, because that
put together a gun in 0. whatever
literally,
seconds.
Right. I know. And during that whole thing, I was like, you go, you badass.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I was like,
you know what I love? I love the quote where she actually kills Micah, and it like, even the actual, let me find it here. I actually had to write it down because And so this is the actual quote in the book. And she shot that bullet right through Micah's fucking head.
Yes. I love that too.
Yes.
You go. Yeah.
And then chop him in like, sixth and burn them and vacuum them up.
So that whole part, I need to get a vacuum sticker. So I found them. I was looking up Crescent City stickers on Etsy, and there is one that's just.
Is there?
Yeah. It was so funny because that whole scene, exactly. I literally laughed out loud, and my husband was right there. And I was like, I'm pretty sure this is the most badass scene ever. And I was like, not only did she shoot him like right through the fucking head, literally says it right through the fucking head. Then she just like literally mutilates him, makes sure he's just like completely chopped up into bits, then lights his ass on fire, and then vacuums him up with the vacuum.
And, you know, it takes the cake because it's like, not only is it super violent, it's also super disrespectful. Vacuum him up and put him in the dumpster.
Right. Oh my gosh. So I was like, my husband's like, what? And I was like, I've just never read anything like that. And it was just like, so amazing that it's like, not only am I going to shoot you and chop you up, but now I'm going to burn you down and vacuum you up and toss you in a dumpster. You
know? Make sure that there is no chance of
any kind of healing.
resurrection. Nothing is happening there.
Oh my gosh. I just loved that whole
scene. It was so good.
So there I was is laughing. A vacuum sticker. I was like, I gotta get that for
me. We gotta get it.
Because it's what I was like, if you know, you know. You know
right. I mean? Does it say anything or it's literally just a vacume? And like,
I don't know. I think it does say something, but I just feel like I can't vacuum now without
making that phrase. I find it funny. It was very Scooby-Doo to me. Like when Micah and Bryce get in the room, he like tells her his whole plan.
That's and always like, how it
why
is.
Why do bad guys always do that? They always are like, they want their victim to know, like, look what I did. Look what I got away with this whole time.
Oh, okay. But, so here's, sorry, not to cut you off. Here's the ones. Oh, and I just saw this one. I think I'm going to have to get this one too. As if I don't have enough stickers, like.
Well, see, that's the advantage of not sticking the stickers on your Kindle, like just putting them temporarily so you can switch them up more often.
So first off, we haven't even talked about this yet, but the freaking otters. And she's like, you know, which is like just what all the of
otters,
us
otters. Oh my animals. God. Bryce like reads romance books and loves otters. Like she's me.
Yeah, she is you. I know you are Bryce. So freaking funny. So there's Crescent City Postal Service, right? With a little otter in like the yellow.
Yeah. Coat.
There's also so one cute. That says Crescent City vacuums, cleaning up even the most angelic mess. But then I also just found a Lili. How is it? How are they saying it? Lihaba?
Yeah, Lihaba and Lili. Yeah.
Okay. And it's a little fire spray and it's like her and it says my friends are with me and I'm not afraid.
Oh,
but then there's also a pack that says Alpha Hole Sunball with a hat. Love all is possible, which I do love that.
Oh,
light
yes.
it up. Love that too. Anyway, I'm going to have to get some Crescent City stickers, but I saw the vacuum and literally laughed out loud. I was like, yeah, that's
so cute. I just got a set of stickers. I'll have to put them on our Instagram. They just arrived, but do I have them here? No, they're postage stamps and I got one for each series. So there's a Valaris.
Oh, I just saw that.
Did you?
Etsy. Did you get it on Etsy?
I did. Of course.
I see Crescent City, Terrison and Valaris. Yeah.
That's right.
I love it. So cute.
Yeah. Do I have them here? I have such a collection of stuff on my desk of different like stickers I haven't put on yet, or I'm looking at the package I'm about to ship you. Yeah, I have a lot of stuff, but that one is not nearby.
Oh, that's okay.
They're super cute.
I know. So, but yeah, those freaking otters.
The otters.
Oh, so, but I just loved, like, I could relate to Bryce on like that. You know what I mean? Like everyone has their, like, their animal voice, you know, and like, animals, like it's just cute. And then that's how, isn't that how, who sends her? Is it Therian?
Yes. Yeah.
Sensor. Through the otter.
Through the otter mail. If you don't know our history, I used to raise otters as like my job. So there's a good connection.
You're a woman of many jobs.
I get bored.
you know who we did not talk about is Sabine.
Oh, what a name?
Bitch. Yeah.
And like literally, because she's a wolf shifter, but what a bitch. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. When she gets his wings cut off.
Yeah. Oh, that was just brutal.
Oh, I just wanted to get my nails in her flesh. Oh my gosh.
She's just like sick.
She's terrible.
Did not
I did think for a good portion of the book that she was going to end up being the baddie.
I did too. I really, really, really genuinely, I did not think it was Micah. I didn't think it was Micah because that's who
give them the assignment.
Gave him the assignment, but also remember Bryce. Yeah, because Bryce like saved him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I definitely didn't see that coming.
No. Uh-uh.
So yeah, this is essentially like fantasy mystery murder.
Whodunit.
Mystery. Yeah. Literally.
Murder mystery.
I definitely thought it was Sabine. And then like how Bryce was like, she killed her daughter. Nah, nah, nah. And I was like, oh, she actually might have. I could see it because she's terrible. So
yeah, and because she knows, she definitely seems like she's jealous of Danica, that Danica was primed to be prime. Mm-hmm. She was going to be not only like the prime of her pack, but the prime of like all shifters, because she was so powerful once she made the drop. That she would have been so powerful once she made the drop.
Yeah,
I was surprised. I think there's probably still more to her story. Like, we didn't really get a resolution with how she feels. She's so mean to Bryce through the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't like her, and she's still around. But this also reminds me, as I'm scrolling through your notes, another thing that we didn't touch on were the books in the library.
The books in the library. That was another thing that we were texting about.
I was like, wait, where have we heard that?
Yes.
And you were like, oh, those books. Yes.
Well, we know two of the four that they name.
Yes.
So we know The Walking Dead was in Throne of Glass, Dorian and Selena.
Oh, right. It was Selena back then.
It was Selena.
True.
That found it in the library and that we're talking about it using it. Mm-hmm. Was that in book one or two? I don't know. Anyway, early books. And then the Book of Breathings is the one that was separated in two and they put it back together. And Amryn was trying to decode it, like, because it was written in an ancient language. So that's the book they stole from Summer Court. What was his name?
Oh, my guy. What the
Your
hell?
Guy. Thaisen?
No.
Is that not right? Summer Court? Thaisen? What's the Summer Court High Lord?
Summer Court High Lord.
High Lord is?
Tarquin.
Oh, yes, you're right. Thaisen is Dawn.
My man, Tarquin. Yeah, I'm coming at the Summer Court.
That's right. So yeah, that's from that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just in terms of their technology and stuff, we know that these series are happening at different times. But it seems clear.
I thought I watched an interview.
No, they could be happening currently, but like there are different, in terms of like the technology and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Those are older and this is like, it's quote unquote modern.
Okay. Yeah.
It's technology, whatever. Go on with your quote though from SJM. I know what you're going to say. Go for
it. I remember watching an interview where she said basically all these worlds are existing along the same timeline, but they're all different worlds.
Right.
And I remember seeing an interview being like, so basically you could like drop into.
Fall through.
Yeah. Another world. So.
But
I still think the library is very interesting because all of these places have a library and it's all like down. You know what I'm saying? And there's
described similarly.
Yeah. I don't know. Something with the library.
I need to do more research on the whole time and space thing because I saw it as like they're happening at the same time and yet. It's like a multiverse kind of thing where like, you know, cause they have, how do they have the same book existing in the same place? How do they have, these fae that came 2000 years ago from a different world?
Right.
If we go, what if that world was Prithian? Well, we don't know about any event like that happening in the time of Akatar. So maybe that's going to happen in the future. And then it's going to go over to the Crescent City. Mm-hmm. So I see it like not stacked so much as like all kind of rumpled up together, like rumpled up paper.
Okay.
But I need to see more of what Sarah says about
Which
maybe we'll see on Tuesday.
We might. I know. We have to like, I definitely want to finish by Tuesday. I'm going to tell everyone to leave me alone.
Yeah. I know I have several things to do this weekend, but I'll get through it.
I'll definitely get through it. I have some things to do, but I'm definitely going to.
I have one sick kid at home. So I know some of my plans have to be changed anyway. So that gives more reading time.
Yeah.
He was actually lying next to me today. I was listening to the book and it was like some parts were like, oh, earmuffs, stop.
Yeah.
That's not for you.
Nope, not for you.
He's 15, so he can handle a lot, but still, I was like, there's some words I don't want to listen to while you're in the room.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. I love Bryce's, she's just... The language in this book is a little more modern too. Like, doesn't she tell Micah like to blow her for like she?
That is so funny when he talks about like putting his power in her or something, and then she's like, "Blow me, like, asshole!
Blow me, asshole!" But I also love
very urban.
You know,
that's definitely the urban fantasy sort of influence. Yeah.
What I love, and I just happened to flip to this, when Bryce is running through the city, literally just like, I don't give a shit. I need to protect those who can't protect themselves. Like, I think that's what I love about her too. And she's literally screaming at them, like, there are babies, like, over here. Yeah. And she would know she's half human, right? So, of course, she wants to protect those who can't protect themselves. But yes, as she's like on the phone, oh my gosh, that whole
with the prime.
Yes. And it was Ethan, right? It was Ethan who was like, I'm coming, you know, like I'm, you know, and then Sabine is like yelling at her or yelling at him. And he's like, no, I'm coming. So I just loved how
and the prime is like, there is a true wolf left. And Sabine is like, no, there's no wolves left there. And he holds his heart and he's like, no, a true wolf. So that's how the prime sees Bryce.
Yes, exactly. And then I loved how every wolf under his command ended their connection too. Right. And so like within that 3 minutes, right. You had the jackals, the coyotes, the wild dogs, the common dogs, the hyenas, the dingoes, the foxes. Yeah. Defenders of those who could not protect themselves. Defenders of the small, the young. Like it was just that whole scene just like coming to help her and putting aside, you know, like clearly, especially with Ethan, because he just so like pushed her out because of Connor, you know, and understandably so, but also not at the same time because it wasn't
her fault.
Right. But I just loved that whole, I loved that. And I also loved how she calls right at the end where she's like, basically like I'm alone and I'm not getting out of here. Right. Who does she call? She calls
Hunt and tells him to like talk to her parents and
Hunt. She's like, Hunt, I need you to call my mom. Right. And she's like, I need you to call my mom. Tell her I love her. Everything I am is like this whole part, right? Like it just made my heart like, you know, I'm sorry for all the bullshit. Tell my dad. And then she's like, Randall, right? I'm so proud.
Clarifies. I do not mean the Adam King.
Yes. Yeah. I'm proud I got to call him my father. He was the only one that ever mattered. You know, fear. Like she's literally just basically like saying her last words. Tell Rune I forgive him. Forgave him a long time ago. Didn't know how to tell him. I'm sorry I hid the truth. And it was only because I love him and didn't want to take anything away from him. He'll always be the better one of us. Right. Like, so all these things, it's just like,
goodbyes.
And then like all these things. And then she just goes like, that whole scene was just so powerful. Don't you think? It was like my favorite one in the whole.
Yeah.
And that's right. Before
I liked it a lot.
Makes the drop. Right. So,
Which is so cool too. The drop and her ascent too, the way that's described, because she has the power of like all the people who have used those communication channels at the gates before. Right. Like, so a drop of power from like millions of people across so many species. So when she's climbing and they don't think she has enough time or power to make that climb back to her body, that talks about her having wings. It talks about her having a tail. Like she's like shifting in and out of forms and also like herself. Yeah. So, and then at the end bit, she talks about having like a well of power that she can't access yet.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what she becomes.
Yeah. Right after all that. Okay. So my other favorite part is when Ember basically tells the Autumn King to go fuck himself.
Yeah.
I love her mom so much. Like, Jen, like
so
that.
Cool. Yeah.
I underline, she's like, I've been waiting for this call for more than 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, she's basically like, okay, asshole, you want to play? Let's fucking go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I loved it.
Totally.
About her, right? And she's like,
she gave you a chance. You threw her out on the curb. Yeah. You don't deserve her.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. And she's just, and then she's like, you left her on the curb like garbage. I hope she finally returns the favor, you fucking asshole. Like, I'm just picturing, you know what I mean? And I'm like, yes.
Absolutely love it.
Nothing like a mama bear. You know what I mean? So I'm like,
oh, totally
goes like full mama. Like, I just loved it. I love that. Fuck the Autumn King, man. But anyway, I loved her parents so much. And the relationship she does have with them, even though she's obviously like hiding some, you know, but I just loved at the end, her mom was like, you know, like it was just great. So
speaking of her like sacrifice. And so what she essentially does is closes these portals to hell. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we find out that hell with one L is hell severed from Midgard. So Midgard is their like planet. Mm-hmm. So it's Midgard, and then they're the continent or territory of Valbara, and then the city of Crescent City, aka Lunathian. So we know that hell is accessible through these portals that have been closed at the northern and southern rift. So something closes the gates at a rift, which just makes me think of Rifthold in Throne of Glass. We never find out, do we, like why Rifthold is called Rifthold.
I don't think
but
so.
But I was like, that's a funny little connection too. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe nothing. Mm-hmm. There's also another what if. Do you remember when Bryce is walking through one of the night gardens?
And it's, yes.
She's being guarded by Naomi, I think. And then Hunt comes and like takes over and walks with her through there. And as she's walking through this garden, it's like the flowers are opening around her. Mm-hmm. And he even like remarks in his head, the garden seemed to awaken for her and welcome her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's some very interesting theories out there about.
Sounds like Aelin.
It does a bit
at the end, a little bit.
It does a bit, but what's the missing court from ACOTAR?
The spring court?
The missing court is the
dusk.
Oh,
the missing court. Oh, the dusk court. Ooh.
So this garden at dusk is what she's walking through, and everything's opening for her.
Hmm.
So there's talk about like why has that can't be an oversight that there's no dusk court.
No. Mm-mm.
There's a reason for it, right?
See, this is where I love, like, on TikTok. Remember when I told you when the cover for book three came out and I ended up on, like, Crescent City Talk? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, everyone. But I have so many things saved to refer back to.
Me too.
Because
I know. I was looking through some of mine.
I genuinely love how in-depth people go to figure
people
this out.
People are so smart.
But then
they've read the books like dozens of times. Yeah. And they pick out things that we have not.
What cracks me up though, so did you see the thing going around where it was like, ask your husband how often they think about the Roman Empire?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, did it.
I shared a reel on our page.
Yes, you did.
And it was like, okay, what's like the female version of the Roman
Empire? Yeah.
It's basically a woman with all of the Sarah J. Maas books. And she's like, every fucking thing. And I'm like, it's so true. Because there's literally not a day that goes by that I'm not thinking about some character in this in her multiverse world, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even just like doing a workout. I'm like, you do not yield.
Yeah. No, you do not yield. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, okay. So it just made me laugh because I'm like, it's so true. But it really is impressive how deep people dive into these books. Like, people
Definitely.
Are very smart and notice very smart things. Like,
yes.
Very, like, dialed in. So,
totally.
Yes, I need to go and refer back. That's an interesting theory. Hmm.
It is, isn't it? So, we will see. We will see. But, and of course, no one knows except Sarah J. Maas and her husband. Because I think I heard her once say that she tells him everything.
Husband? Oh, okay. Do you think her husband is, like, a super into, like, my husband I don't think would be like, what if her husband just genuinely is like, okay, cool, like, like,
I don't know,
okay,
I wonder,
you know?
I think she acknowledges him pretty strongly, but I mean, you kind of have to, don't you?
Right. Oh my goodness, how funny. Well, okay, so what else did we kind of make it through? Everything
overviewed a lot. It's impossible to talk about all of it. And some of this stuff might come up again when we do book two, like things that we didn't realize were significant.
Yeah.
Will become true. So.
But now we can start because we've talked about this. Now I don't have
to
hold off. I'm in the middle of another one right now, but I'm absolutely going to stop because I want to read this one.
Yeah. I'm in a couple of light ones. I read a couple of really like heavier, more like contemporary fiction.
Mm.
On this last weekend. And so I was like, I need a rom-com.
Yeah.
I need a
palate
cleanser.
Romance.
And okay.
Yeah. I don't really know what I think right now. So.
Okay. Okay.
I'm like halfway through, but it's going to go on hold.
Yeah. I'm doing Crescent City 2 now until I'm done it. Cause I need to get done before this interview comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll go back to regular scheduled programming.
I am so excited. I'm also we're going to see Sarah J. Maas like live.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, sort of like on a computer. You know,
yes. But I mean like.
It is live. It is live. It is not a pre-recorded. Yeah.
Right. That's what I mean. It's like as close to her as.
And we're like one degree of separation because we've like met CeeLo.
I know.
Like, what? Is that 1 degree or 2 degree? If we're 1 degree is to CeeLo and then 2 degrees would be to her.
Probably 2 degrees.
Is that how that works? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe someday we can manifest it that we would love to interview her someday.
We would.
Manifest it now. Mm-hmm. And just hope for it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Post CC4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Well, anytime, actually, anytime.
anytime at all. But yeah. Okay, cool. I mean, I'm excited.
Yeah, let's call it there.
I also don't really understand the cover. I would love more.
No. Yeah. And there's a lot of analyses online of like down to, because it's a very intricate piece of artwork.
It is. But I'm excited
and
to
like
get more
who
Rune.
It's supposed to be. I don't think it's supposed to be Bryce necessarily, you know, but
no,
like,
I don't think
it's
so
just either. Elements from the book.
Right.
But like, look how detailed that like structure is that she's part of. It's like a crown, but it's a pillar, but it's, but there's so many individual pieces of our artwork that make it up
mm-hmm.
with so many different symbols.
Yeah. There's like so much. A snake. There's so much.
There's so much.
So the bird.
Yeah. You know, there's water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tons of water, fire, all the elements.
Cool.
All the houses are seem represented. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I think that kind of sums it up.
For now.
For now.
Oh, I think we had one SpeakPipe message, actually.
Our one SpeakPipe message is from Paige. So I'm going to play that now.
Hi, guys. I'm super excited for this podcast to come out. And my question for you is, what was your biggest misconception about Crescent City going into it? I know you guys waited a little longer to read it than maybe most SJM fans, and I'm sure you heard a ton of things about it. So I am interested to hear something that you expected to happen or thoughts about a character you thought you were going to have that ended up being different once you finally read the book. I'm looking forward to the episode. Enjoy.
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Okay, do you want to
I can
go
think
first?
Of a couple.
Go ahead.
I thought it was going to be steamier.
Mm, for sure.
I definitely thought that. And I wasn't expecting such the heavy like crime murder mystery sort of style. As for like a character, I don't think I have one. Do you?
A character that
like you thought something different of and then your perception was changed or something?
I mean, I guess Hunt, right? Because I'm still skeptical on him.
Okay, yeah.
I'd probably say, again, I'm still him and Jasiba. I also don't think we're done with Sabine. Yeah, so I don't know. There's just a few that I'm like, okay. But the Hunt thing really threw me off. So that is where I'm like, I don't think it's right. Like we said, end game. I think that's just not, I don't know. I do feel the same though. I definitely thought it was going to be steamier because this is obviously more adult. Like it's newer compared to ACOTAR and Throne of Glass. Mm-hmm. I also was not expecting the crime element of it or that it was so modern. I didn't,
right.
And urban, you know, I didn't know that either. That's very different. Than
very different
ACOTAR and Throne of Glass. So
the other two seem like they could be taking place like sort of in the same.
Yeah, like they don't even have like power.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? So it's like Faelite, you know, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So yes, very, very different. But I also did enjoy that because it's a little more relatable, right? Like watching the reality TV or the Sunball game and whatever else. And it kind of just feels
texting
like
texting and taking pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like, you know, that could be in our time. So
yeah. If we just added magic to our world.
Yeah. You know, so yeah. I really did enjoy it though. I'm looking forward to book two. So I do wonder if, I mean, I'm wondering, is there going to be more crime? I don't know.
I guess we'll find out. Yeah. It does like kind of end all sort of tied up in a nice little bow. Like we have questions that are small, but it's not like a big storyline left to go. Like, I don't feel like we read part one of whatever. Like, it felt
right.
Like a book that was sort of all encompassing
and
ended in a nice place. Like, it's not really cliffhangery.
No. Just other than we get like, okay, so someone knew Adius. Is that how you're saying his name?
Adius. Yeah.
Adius, right. We're like, oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Little questions.
Something
but like
there.
The
right.
Main plot tied up.
Yes, basically. So
yeah.
So
cool. We'll see where
all
it
right.
goes.
I think we should sign off so that we can go read.
Yep. I'm ready.
This is done. Move on to the next one. So
yep.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Anyway, so you guys know where to find us over on Instagram at Lit Chicks Read. Again, we would love for you to join our Patreon community. Super fun over there. You get a lot of extras that you're not necessarily getting on Instagram. And then we also have our little book club element too, which we love. We love chatting with you guys on Zoom.
It's so fun. It's such a small, intimate setting and you can like talk to everybody. Yeah.
It's really fun. So we encourage you to come and join us there. Our SpeakPipe is linked below. If you have anything you want to share about this book or the next one for when we record the next episode. And I think that about sums it up. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back for Crescent City 2. See you next time.
See you then.